did you think about think of last World Cup? Like, did you follow it?
Yeah, I followed a bit. I didn't watch all the matches. I didn't watch a lot, but I definitely watched the final, which was a really cool match. I think probably the best football match I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, just really enjoyable to watch. And obviously, I remember when I was smaller, I was a big fan of Messi. So to see him win his first World Cup was pretty big as well.
I think everybody think that's amazing for them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, how do you keep yourself in shape as a driver during this period, like you said before? And what will be the first steps in the calendar for you?
Yeah,
Like
so in
steps.
terms of staying fit, I'm training every single day. So it's pretty, I have a pretty simple schedule. So it's one day of the week, let's just start with Monday is like a cardio session. And then Tuesday would be like a gym session with strength training. And then Wednesday again would be a cardio session. And then the every time it will change depending on the intensity I will do. But I'm running pretty much the same program all the time. But then changing all the exercises to match the current goal, what we're trying to achieve. And then Sunday is usually off. So I have one off each week, which is quite nice. And the first thing in the calendar will be heading to my new team for the next year, Prema Racing, where I'll need to go and get my seat fit and everything for the test, get that ready for the test that we have in Bahrain in the middle of February.
Now let's talk a little bit about yourself. So, in what environment did you grow up?
Yeah, so I grew up in a little city called Filskov in Denmark with my two parents. They and my two parents and my two brothers. And my father has always been loving racing and cars, just particularly just cars. He's selling cars in his company and also racing himself a lot. Now he's racing a lot less than he used to, but he used to race a lot. And even my brothers, when they were very young, they were into racing as well. And when I was 2 years old, I got my first motocross bike. So it's been pretty much all of my life has been something to do with fuel and an engine,
Yeah, the
definitely.
passion is in the family.
Exactly that. And it's, you don't grow up when you're like 5 years old thinking that you'll be Formula One driver. You don't really know what it is. So someone needs to push you, and that in that case was my father and my family who was good at helping me out.
What kind of student were you at school?
Well, I was so I finished 1 year or a little bit less than 1 year on business school, which was my last year in school, and I've always been very disciplined in school. I really like school in the way that everything that makes me happy is when I'm learning. And if it's on the racetrack or in the school, if I feel like I'm being challenged and moving forward, I find myself in a really good place. And therefore, school has never really been difficult for me. Don't get me wrong, I didn't enjoy being in school every day. I preferred racing, there's no doubt about that. But being very disciplined and doing my best to succeed. And I'm a very competitive guy. So I think I was looking, even though I was not in school as much as my friends, because I was racing every day and every weekend, I was still very competitive and wanted to do the best possible in school.
What is your earliest memory of racing?
My earliest memory is probably on the motocross bike at home in my garden, with my family, driving around and learning. And just yeah, having fun every day after school. If it was just cutting the grass, with the little buggy, or if it was on the motocross, anything that had an engine, I would just be in love with. Yeah, so earliest memories is definitely very early, like 3 or 4, when I really started to get into motocross.
Okay. And did you follow motor racing either on television, radio, or via specialized magazines?
So when I was younger, I really just enjoyed my own passion. I didn't really follow too much. But then in 2012, I think it was the first year where I was watching Formula One, and it was when dominating in Formula One. So he was also my first hero in racing for sure.
Oh, okay. Well, that was my next question. So great. And when did you decide to go karting?
Yeah, so as soon as I turned 8 years old, I got my first go-kart because that's how old I had to be able to drive in Denmark.
Okay.
And I remember my dad gave it to me, and it was so terrifying, and so it was shaking so much when I first sat in it that I almost didn't want to drive.
Okay.
And in the beginning, my dad was walking the track faster than I was driving because I was a bit scared, you know. But then very quickly I got used to it, and I got up to speed quickly.
How was the period of creation of the team with your family, and what were your racing weeks like?
So a normal week for me would be, if we start on Sunday or on Thursday, Thursday would be the last day in school, and then I would go Friday. We will first day evening or after school we will drive to the racetrack. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we would drive at the racetrack. We would sleep in our truck. And then we would Sunday evening go back. I would sleep in the truck while my dad was driving. I would get ready for school on Monday. And then back to school. And then I had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to clean my go-kart together with my dad. And then
Okay.
Thursday again, we went to the next race weekend. And I think our record is 15 race weekends in a row.
Wow, okay.
So every single weekend from Thursday to Sunday, 15 weekends in a row, just me and my dad.
Wow, okay.
Yeah,
Then,
yeah.
yeah, sorry. Go
Yeah,
on.
just it's such a big commitment you need to have. And even though I, as a young sportsman, wanted and had big commitment, I also really was dependent on my father, because if he didn't want to invest and show and give the time to me, his help, I would be nowhere. So it's really important to have a family member or someone who really wants to help you.
To support you, yeah,
Yeah.
I understand. And did you have any preparation rituals before the cutting races that you kept?
Not so much. Like I really see the way that if I prepare as best as possible and enjoy what I'm doing, everything will come naturally. I saw a lot of racing drivers through my time, and also when I was younger, who wanted the good life, the fun life of being a racing driver, which there's lots of fun, but there's definitely also a lot of tough moments. And I think I understood that the tough moments is actually what allows me to do the fun moments, and with that just comes a lot of joy, and the passion really allows or gives so much energy. So I just use the passion for the sport to get ready.
And for those who have never done karting, what is the feeling like, and what are the things that drivers pay attention to in order to perform better?
You are very, maybe 20 centimeters from the ground, racing more than 100 kph when you are 10 years old. The risk is quite high. I mean, I've never been injured myself, but I've definitely seen people getting injured because you are driving fast. You are very young. You're not fully capable of measuring the risk versus reward sometimes. But yeah, it's such a great experience, and it's adrenaline. It's again managing the risk. I think it's something you learn through the sport. When you just are in school, you learn a lot by the teacher, by the books, but being so active in a sport from really young, I think can really help people as well to learn, both managing yourself, your team around, and also in the races. So I think it's not it's so much more than just driving a go-kart.
What would the perfect karting track look like for you?
Definitely technically a difficult track, one where each driver needs to really practice well and be smart, because there's some tracks where you just go flat out all the corners, and it's not so difficult, but definitely that, and then also having lots of overtaking opportunities, so some sharp corners where you have to brake a lot to where you can basically overtake like that.
With financial support playing a big part during this period,
Yeah.
was there ever a time when that support was put at risk due to a lack of performance? And was the WS Okay, title a way for you to find investors more easily.
I think it's we can easily say that winning the WVSK was probably one of the reasons why I'm still racing, because I had such a difficult year in 2015, and I was going to continue racing, but not having any proof of good results in international karting, it's quite important for Formula One teams, and in general, the general view on a driver. So getting that victory in WSK, I think it really allowed me to trust myself and to trust that I'm good enough for Formula One. And also from people looking from the outside, knowing that I've won WSK is really big race. And it was, yeah, a very big moment for me as well in my career, because it was a full year of tough results and expectations not reached one single time during that year. And then I finished the year winning the last race and turning around almost like my career. It feels that way at least.
It was a good win for the year, so it was a
Yeah.
good in the dark.
Absolutely.
And what memories do you have of your 4 years in karting?
So, well, I have memories of victories, of big victories with my father, with my team. And I also have really tough moments where I would cry. I'm the guy in the paddock when I was younger, who if the race didn't go my way, I would become really sad. And it's just because I was so invested in my own dream and my own performance that any little negative thing or a crash or a bad race weekend, it would make me really sad. But I was also the first one to turn it around and make something better the next weekend. So best memories would probably be the WSK victory, definitely. And also that was one when I was 12 years old. I won the Nordic Championship, and I was like the rookie. I was really young in the championship, and I ended up winning it, which I remember being just so big for my family and me.
You have traveled quite a bit following karting, especially in 2017 with the team Zvesti Motorsport. Global Racing Group and Van Amersfoort Racing. How would you describe the world of Formula 4?
Formula 4 is such an interesting place because it's the first time you get to race a car, with a real race car. It's the smallest class on the ladder to F1, so it's still a very slow car, but it's still going like 240 kph, so it's still a really fast car. And you are 15 years old. I did 2 years of Formula 4, and it was really just about learning, obviously showing my performance and showing my talent, but with always the goal of learning and becoming better, because I know my dream is to become world champion in Formula One, and that was all I was looking at. How can I become the best possible racing driver in the shortest amount of time?
Okay. And with Primark Racing in the Formula 3 Championship Regional, you won the championship after 24 races, including 13 victories. What was the outcome of this prolific period? What memories do you have of these moments, and how does it feel to be a racing champion?
I think this championship is still with me till this day, giving me so much confidence and knowledge that I can definitely win a championship. If I get it right and if I understand myself and what I need to be or need to do to be consistent as a racing driver and deliver good results consistently, I can become champion. The regional championship was not the most competitive, not like Formula 2 this year, for example, but still. It's still very difficult to put together a championship like that, and proving both to myself but also to the world outside is really to be so strong that you can be dominant over your competitors throughout the whole year, which I almost achieved. I won, I think, 13 out of 24 races, as you said, and it's really a strong year. So I obviously take all the learning from it, but also the confidence that I gained from that year was significant.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And do you think that this victory, followed by seasons in which you finished fourth twice and with two different teams, how do you analyze the last three, four seasons, both professionally and personally?
I would say I've definitely improved a lot. I've been held back a little bit by inconsistent results. I've taken pole position in any race year I've done in my career. I've taken a race win in any race career calendar I've done. So every single year I've taken both pole and a race win. So it means I can win, and it means I'm strong enough to win. But it also means if I can't do it consistently, that I have things to work on and to understand. So I would say the talent is there, if I look at myself, but I need to bring more consistency if I want to become champion in Formula 2, for example. And that's also currently what I'm working at to get to that point.
Do you think that such achievements have been significant for the interests of the great formula?
For sure, having performed well in Formula 3 is such a key point to get right. And also this year in Formula 2, I was so close to getting P3 in the championship. In the end, I'm P9, which sounds horrible comparing to my expectations. But knowing that in the last weekend in Abu Dhabi, I was actually fighting for P3, I need to remember that, because if I just look at the paper, it can be quite frustrating. But if I pick out 80% of the year, it was actually quite a strong season.
And do you remember the first major champions or figure in Formula One who gave you a word of encouragement?
I think I haven't been very close to Formula One drivers before entering Mercedes, but so I have to say George Russell, because he has been in the past 2 years such an inspiration to me, and he's been there at Mercedes, talking to me at the gym. Really pushing me a bit. One time he came to me in Brackley when I was in the sim. He came to me to say that maybe on the starts I need to do something differently in Formula 2, because he had experience and he is watching the races, and he wants me to do well. So he's definitely been very good to me, and a big help. And also it was quite big for me to do the Formula 1 test with both him and Lewis Hamilton in the other car. So it was a big day.
Wow, okay. And many great drivers and engineers emphasize the importance, sorry, of driver feedback on the vehicles to make the right adjustment. Does understanding the vehicle already play an important role in gaining an advantage in the competition during this period, or does it come later in Formula 3 or Formula 2?
I would say it already starts in go-karting. The more you understand about the kart or the go-kart or the car, the more advantage you have, because you can understand how to improve it quickly. And in racing, you don't have much time to improve the car. So if you don't have the fastest car, you have a disadvantage. So knowing and understanding all the mechanical parts of a racing car is really important. Some people are really interested, which is me. I love the mechanical parts. I love the data, everything. Other people, they just like racing and driving, and they don't really go into the deep analysis on the car. And that's completely fine. You can make both things work, but I'm definitely the kind of driver who loves to look at the data and understand why the car is handling in a certain way, or what we can do to improve it.
You spent a large part of your career with Prema Racing. Many of today's Formula One drivers, like Mick Schumacher, Charles Leclerc, Pierre Gasly, and Esteban Ocon, have been there during their career. Could you give us an idea of the reasons that motivated your choice?
Yeah, so going to Prema was a pretty simple decision back in 2019. Prema was clearly the strongest team on the grid, probably also in Formula 4, definitely in the top. But in Formula 3 and Formula 2, they're always fighting for the championship. And you can be the best driver in the world, but if you don't have one of the best teams, you will not succeed. And that's because the sport is also really dependent on the machinery that you're driving. So being with the right team and feeling motivated also, because it's also important to be around the right people. So yeah, my motivation to join Prema was definitely their results and how strong they were in the previous years. And I also the development I could see they could help me with. So working closely with their engineers is also something that pushed me forward.
What was your relationship with the team over the years?
Yeah, very good, very, very good, and that's obviously also why I'm coming back for next year in 2023. I'll be with Prema after 2 years at ART, and that is because I believe in Prema. I believe in their philosophy, the way they're handling their drivers and cars. Yeah.
And where does the team get its great strength from?
I think first of all, it's managed in a bit of a different way. Many racing teams are like businesses. They obviously have to at least go zero or make money. I think Prema is obviously the same. It's a very big company, but they just understand how to get the maximum out of the people they're working with. Now I'm really fortunate to know a lot of great people through my sport, and all of the ones who really succeed is the ones who understand how to motivate people and get them working hard. And I think Prema is a great example of that, because everyone is proud to be a part of Prema and everyone wants to do their best. And if you can achieve that with your whole team, then you really have the strong package.
Okay, how do you approach a qualifying session? What would be a successful qualifying session for you?
Well, a successful qualifying session will probably be top three, top four. Then I will definitely be smiling. If it's top 10, it's not great, but it's okay. And outside top 10, it's very bad. And how I approach it's really depending on the day. Some days I'm really fired up and motivated, so I need to be a bit careful with overdriving and making mistakes. If I feel that way, I will try to calm myself down with meditation and trying to think calmly. On the other hand, sometimes if I feel a bit more relaxed and too relaxed, sometimes I'm too slow to get up to speed and I want to push a bit more and try to increase a little bit my intensity, my body and mind. So it's really a fine balance, because no qualifying and no day qualifying day is ever the same. So it's really important for me to understand myself, so I can improve, or I can change myself into the right state of mind before quali.
Do you remember your first pole position in Austria? What did that moment mean to you, and what goes through your head when you hear the news?
Yeah, this year in 2022 in Spielberg, when I got that pole position, it was just such an incredible day, because the race weekend before was Silverstone and I was P2 in qualifying, and then I arrived to and I finally got my first pole position. And yeah, I remember it just meant everything for me. And to be honest with you, I think it's the highlight of the year. Getting that pole position meant so much for me, because it really means that you're the fastest driver that day.
What does it take to be consistent in motor racing?
Well, it takes actually a lot of mental preparation. Racing is the difficult part about racing is the mental aspect, and therefore having a consistent and strong mental approach is really important. Being honest with yourself and understanding where to improve, I think is really important, because if you are blind for your own mistakes, I think it's difficult to stay consistent, because all the time we race in different tracks, we race in different weather, so you need to really be smart and to be good at adapting yourself.
Now let's talk a little bit about your young driver program at Mercedes F.
Yes.
You are now a young driver at Mercedes F1, and how does it feel to be enrolled in the team that has dominated Formula One for the past decade?
Yeah, well, being a part of Mercedes is still unreal for me. And I now live in the UK, and being able to take my car and drive to Mercedes F1 in Brackley, and with my little key card open the door to the gym, to the simulator, different things. It's just such a privilege, and it's something that really drives me, and something that helps to push me forward as well. You know, I want this to happen for myself and by myself, to become world champion in Formula One, but I also want to make Mercedes proud and to be a strong Mercedes driver. That's definitely my goal.
Was it difficult for you to hide your excitement before the official announcement?
Yeah, it's always difficult when you have something big to announce. But it's also quite a fun time, because you have something, you know, everything is fine, and everyone is asking, and you can make a bit of fun with people, because obviously you can't say what is happening, but you can still, at least in yourself, you can be quite relaxed because you know everything is fine. And then as soon as the news goes out, it's so big, and you get a lot of messages, and yeah, TV usually also comes when on these big announcements. So it's quite cool for sure.
What feedback did you get from Denmark following the news?
Yeah, it was big news for sure. There's never been a Danish guy in the program, in the Mercedes program, so it was obviously very big news being close to the Formula One team. And I think people was very happy for me and wanted to congratulate me.
What is behind this young driver title? What are your tasks and what is expected for of you?
I think being a young driver actually puts a bit of pressure, because you can't just be as you want. You need to remember that you're representing the biggest brand, pretty much one of the biggest brands in the world. And having that badge on the chest is such a big pressure. You cannot make any mistakes, and it's very clear that if you do, you will be definitely be in trouble. So you need to behave very, very well, which of course is, at least in my case, not very difficult. I try to do my best, and it should be fine. And also on the racetrack, you know, we are competing against the best drivers in the world, but being a part of the Mercedes Junior program, you are only if they believe you are one of the best in the world. So it means you also need to perform really dominantly on the track, and show that you are one of the best drivers in the world.
There's a lot of talk about the work of reserve pilots and young pilots in the simulator. What exactly do you do there?
Yeah, so basically I'm driving the Formula One car in the simulator to help the two drivers on the track. So in Friday, after the second practice, where in a race weekend, I will be driving the car in the simulator, trying to replicate their driving style, and then we will work on different setup in the car in order to improve it. All F1 teams, almost all F1 teams does this. But then it's about who can do it the best, again, to gain an advantage in the race. So doing that, I really learn a lot about feedback and how I can give my best feedback to the team.
How does the work done in a simulator help the work of the driver in race? So exactly, because you said it's to improve yourself and to explain what is good and what is not good about the
Yeah.
team. What are the aspects of the simulator that are difficult to replicate in race conditions?
Yeah, so one of the things that's difficult to replicate is obviously the fear. A driver in real track will always have more fear than in the simulator. In the simulator, you can just reset and you go again if you crash. In the real car, you can be out for the whole weekend. You can have a big damage bill that you need to pay, or the team needs to pay. So it's so big, and it's so difficult in real racing to manage the risk correctly, because if you make mistakes, it can be holding you back for a long time. In the sim, it's you can drive without pressure, really. You can push the car, and yeah, and that really shows also in the sim. Because and also another thing that helps the real car, if they have a problem on the real car, we can work on it in the sim, and we can send them information to the real track. And then they believe that will help it, because it worked in the sim. So it's a very important tool for both the drivers, but also the team, the engineers.
How will your weekends fit in with the Formula 2 Championship?
Yeah, so basically the weekends where I'm racing in Formula 2, I cannot really help the team because I'm racing myself at the same track as as Formula 1. I can only really drive the simulator in the 10 weekends a year where I'm not racing myself.
The Mercedes AMG Petronas Formula 1 team headquarters are located in the northwest of London in Brackley. Do you remember your first visit and what were the things that stood out for you?
Yeah, I definitely remember my first visit. It was in 2017, and I was there to drive the simulator for the first time. At this time, I was still not a junior driver, but I was there to prove my talent to them. And what stood out to me, I think what stood the most out to me was probably the engineers. How many and how professional the team is operating at such high level, the team is operating is incredible. And everyone just seems so motivated and heading in the same direction. And I think that's probably one of the things that has made Mercedes really strong in the many years that we've seen.
What is Toto Wolff like in life? Did you get in touch with him?
Yes, I've been speaking a little bit to him, and he's, I think, the best leader you can ask for. He's something that really surprised me about Toto. Is that he's actually in all the meetings with the team. So when I did the Formula One test in Abu Dhabi, he was there listening to my feedback and asking me questions. And I think he leads by example, which is probably one of the most important things a leader can do to the employees and to the staff that he's operating, leading by example. And he's very good at that.
How would you describe your relationship with the team?
Yeah, very good. Over the past 2 years, I have grown a lot as a person. I have become as well. And I think the Formula One test, I did prove that. And yeah, I find myself in a very good position when I'm with the team. They're very nice. They're taking care of me really well. And I think also they see that I put in a lot of work with the team. This is really important because if they know that I want to put in the work and I'm motivated to help the team, they're also willing to give me a simulator time and also track time in the real car.
How you were able to do your first steps with Mercedes after the season? Could you give us an idea of the technical differences that an F1 car has with an F2 or an F3?
Yeah, basically, a Formula One car can change everything on the steering wheel. So all the technical issues that we face in Formula 2, which takes hours to change. So for example, the differential in the gearbox in the in sorry in the, yeah, in the car in they have to take off the gearbox and change it in the garage. In Formula 1, they can change it just from the steering wheel. The driver can change it while he's in the middle of the corner. I think that shows really well the technical differences between Formula 2 and Formula 1. It's a huge step in terms of power, in terms of G-forces in the corners. And handling the car is very, obviously very difficult in Formula 1 because it is such a fast car. There's no doubt that the technical aspect in Formula 1 is very important for the drivers to understand because you can have a big advantage if you know how to use all the tools to your advantage. And if you have a teammate who is not using those tools, you will definitely have an advantage to him.
And gain time in the race.
And gain time, definitely, yes.
What were the most complicated aspects to integrate when you did your first laps?
Yeah, I think getting used to the brakes, the power, the grip, everything is just more. Much more than the brain can really understand in the first few laps. So everything just feels like it's unreal and incredible. I remember just smiling and almost screaming inside the helmet how cool it was. And just doing those first laps was 12 years of incredibly hard work that just turned into emotions and a pure feeling of happiness when I was driving that car. But yeah, integrating into the from the Formula 2 to the Formula 1, it's pretty much the same thing, just much, much faster and more difficult. And yeah, it just takes time to get the body and mind ready for that.
What kind of settings do you like on your car?
Yeah, it's a tricky question. It really depends whatever we need. Whatever setting that makes the car the fastest in the shortest amount of time, that's the best setting. It's difficult to answer that more precisely than that because it really depends on the weather, on where the grip is and how the car is feeling that specific day. But to explain a bit more, I like when the car turns really well and there's like understeer and oversteer. If there's understeer, the car turns a little bit less than you want it to, which can be very helpful, or oversteer, the car turns a bit more than you want it to do. And I prefer it turning a bit more because I feel like I can carry more speed like this. So there's drivers are very different, and some people love understeer, some people love oversteer. But when we are in the meetings, we tend to say to the engineers, we want the perfect car, which is just in the middle.
What were the circuits where you were most comfortable? What were the ones where you had the most difficulties?
Yeah, I think Spa is probably one that's quite difficult for me. And also maybe which one? Abu Dhabi was also quite tricky this year. And the good ones, definitely Budapest, Spielberg in Austria for sure. And also Paul Ricard in south of France was definitely three very strong tracks.
Do you remember an apex that was particularly annoying to aim at?
Yeah, I do. I think for example in Spa, turn one can be very difficult. I think it's called La Sauce. And it's such a difficult corner to get right because you want to maximize the braking point, and the corner is there's like a dip, so it goes down, and the car is there's like a compression when you go on power, and just getting that right is very tricky. So probably that one is quite tricky.
What can you tell us about Tio Roche?
Well, Theo was a good teammate this year. I learned a lot from him, and I think we both pushed each other really well. We worked together as a team. We kept improving the car, and I think also it showed in our performances that we became stronger and stronger throughout the year.
What are the destinations of the calendar which enchant you most by the city?
Probably Melbourne next year. I'm super excited to go to Australia and to be racing on a city track in Melbourne. That's a dream come true for sure.
Now a little bit about our country. Have you ever had the opportunity to meet or watch Steffel van Doorn on track?
Yeah, I've met him a few times. Obviously, he was a part of the Mercedes Formula E team in the past few years and became the world champion as well this year. So, big congratulations to him. And yeah, he also used to drive for ART in Formula 2, where I drove this year. So, we have definitely been around the same team and the same people in some of our career. And yeah, he seems like a really good guy and also a great racing driver. And yeah, that shows when you have both been racing in Formula One and also a world champion in Formula E.
How do you see a circuit like Spa-Francorchamps? Like you said.
Spa, yeah, it's a tricky track. It's such a long, it's almost 8 kilometers. I think it's seven something kilometers, which is really long for a racetrack. It's one of my favorite racetracks, but it's also one of my most difficult racetracks, I think. I have got, I think, one or two podiums in my career in Spa, and I could have had a lot more. But yeah, Spa is a fantastic track. It really gives the racing driver what he wants, and that's the adrenaline through Eurus already on is such an amazing and you need to be brave in Spa. You need to trust yourself. and you can make up time if you're confident. And I think those kind of tracks are amazing.
Okay. And what would be the most difficult aspect for you to discuss with non-experts about the reality of motor racing?
I think I've only realized that after the Formula One test I did, but talking about the step one and trying to make it real, how big is the step? I cannot, with my words, I cannot explain how big is the step to Formula One and how incredible was the car to drive. It's a feeling, and it's a sense that you something you can only feel when you're in the car. And no words can sort of define what it feels like to drive that car. I can try to talk about examples, to talk about feelings and everything that I got while driving, but only driving that car can make you understand how incredible it is. And I think I struggle with that because I want everyone in the world to know how it is to drive the Mercedes F1 car.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Perfect.
How much is it tricky to change your way when passing an opponent?
Incredibly difficult. And usually you kind of know which drivers are tricky to overtake and which ones are more easy. But in the end, you need to tr treat all drivers the same and really push for the maximum. If you believe that you have the pace and the confidence to overtake, you just gotta go for it and a bit close the eyes and hope for the best. And usually it works out well, and sometimes it doesn't, and you need to understand why it didn't.
How much time do you play racing games, video games in general, and do you try to
Yeah.
practice when like driving your car around the city or something?
I don't try to practice in my road car. I think it's two separate things, and I want to respect the rules, of course, but I enjoy driving my road car, but I'm not trying to learn anything from the road car. But from my racing simulator, I'm learning a lot, and I'm probably driving when I'm at home in the UK with my sim. I'm driving a lot in the sim. It's like a it's a hobby for me. You know, it's a hobby next to my racing that I just enjoy. I'm not really doing it because I have to. I'm just doing it because I really enjoy it.
How big the fan impact you're driving during a race?
Yeah, it's you during a race. You don't really. You have to not notice it. You have to stay consistent, because some tracks there's more and some there's less. But for sure the atmosphere is in some tracks is just unbelievable, and it's a great boost for for each driver.
Do you have time to look at the landscape during the Monaco race?
During the race, not so much, but walking from and to the track, we can definitely look at at Monaco and how beautiful it is. But during a race, you're just absolutely focused on pushing the car to its limits.
How much insight do you have from the engineer?
Well, he will tell me the amount of laps that is left in the race, the distance to the driver ahead and behind me, and also I can let him know on how I feel the tires are. So if I feel they are degrading more than they should be doing, then he can give me tools. You know, I know all the tools. But as a driver, when you're pushed in really difficult situations, sometimes it can be difficult to remember what to do, and how to do it perfectly. And sometimes the engineer can be really helpful to say the right things and to sort of bring back the knowledge I already have.
Because obviously they know more than about the sport than you, and like, yeah, for
Yes.
example, you need to imply this.
Yeah, for sure. The engineers are always really nice to help. I think they are really good to help us as drivers. We don't know everything. They have access to a lot of data that us drivers, you know, engineers, they work from numbers and drivers work from feelings. And somewhere in the middle with communication, you bring the like a magic zone where you need to talk about data and talk about feeling and put them together. And that communication with the engineer is so important.
How much? No. How close are you between pilot in F2?
You are close in the sense that you see each other every weekend almost, and you're racing a lot. But at least from my perspective, I'm not really, let's say, great friends with anyone. I'm friends with some people, of course, and I speak to them every weekend. But it's not like your school friends, you know. We are raising each other. We have our own career to take care of, and sometimes in a heated battle, it can be difficult to be friends. But at the same time, we spend so much time together that you cannot, you know, we are obviously all talking together.
Which country surprised you the most?
I think going to the Netherlands with the Max Verstappen fans, I think that surprised me a lot. And also how Max was able to bring so many Max Verstappen fans into Austria. So probably these two in the racetrack.
Okay, so now Laura, we finish with the question we usually ask our guests. So
okay, cool.
So what did you like the most during your studies?
What did I like the most? I think I was never good at math, but I quite enjoyed it. And also all the activities. So there we had like woodwork. I don't know if you have the same, but like working on like building things was quite interesting. Also the sports was obviously a big winner for me. I love sports. And reading was always incredibly difficult for me. So I think I never really got to enjoy that because I really struggled to read and to do that really well. But at the same time, I worked really hard to become good at it, and now I can read quite well.
What is your main weakness?
My biggest weakness is probably sometimes that I'm very, like, a bit too nice and care a bit too much about everyone. It's a very good thing to have, but when you are a professional sportsman, sometimes it can hold you back if you are thinking too much about people around you, or if you're thinking too much about what people think of you or something like that. As a professional sportsman, you need to be very strong and very confident all the time. So that's sometimes a bit of a challenge, but obviously it's also a good thing because I'm always smiling. I'm always good friends with people. So it's tricky, but there needs to be a balance, and that's the way I see it.
And what is your favorite quality in a person?
Kindness, I think. Being understanding how to be kind, but also how you push each other. I think I think you can really help as a friend or as a family member if you can understand how to motivate another person and how to help them a bit in the right direction. I know myself, if I'm together with someone who helps me, pushes me a bit, it's always a good feeling.
What would you like to have as a gift of nature?
I think, is that like superpower or what exactly is that? What do you mean?
Yeah, it can be superpower or for your career.
Yeah, okay. I think endless energy, more time in the day, because I enjoy what I do. I enjoy my life really a lot. And I'm only 20 years old, but sometimes I feel like the last 12 years is just flown by since I was 8 years old. So probably more time in a day.
I would like that too, but
yes.
What would be your dream of happiness?
Dream of happiness would be to be able to race in Formula One, and on the side, helping other people to achieve their dream. I think achieving my own dream is the ultimate dream of mine, which I'm working every day to achieve. But it also motivates me to help other people find their motivation, their happiness, and their dreams. So I think I would fix my own one first, and when I got to there, I would try to help other people, which would bring the last happiness to me, I think.
What is your greatest passion outside of work?
Outside of racing, I think probably being with my friends and family. I'm definitely enjoying that because I'm away so much. Like just having something, like everyone thinks being in a hotel is really nice, which it is for the first few days.
Mm-hmm.
But having a nice rhythm and being with family and friends, I think, is something I really enjoy when I'm not working and racing.
What advice would you give to someone starting out on your field?
Work hard, work really, really hard, and much harder than you want to when it's not fun. It's not good enough to just enjoy racing, because every single person in the world would enjoy racing, but it's all the difficult things that makes a good racing driver. If you can accept that you need to go through a lot of difficulties to become a racing driver, then you will also have the benefit of all the fun and cool things and experience get as a racing driver. But expecting that racing is just the fun part of racing, then it will be very difficult to succeed. So I think expecting the difficulties and taking them as part of the journey is really important.
What has been your greatest inspiration?
My father. There's no doubt my father has been such a big role in my career and in my life in general, that he's definitely such a big inspiration. I call him every day to talk to him, explain him what I've done and how I see how I can improve. And the same for him. He has his, a lot of ideas and knowledge together. My father has always understood how to bring me along, and I could learn from him. And yeah, so he's learned me a lot and taught me a lot.
If you could go back when you were a child, what would you say to yourself?
I think believe in yourself and keep working on yourself for forever. I think as soon as you realize as a person that complaints and all of this doesn't help you, and for example, like a small example, like if you have a bad race weekend, which happens for me every year, and then instead of saying, ah, it was him and it was him and it was not my fault, like understanding that what you could have changed and what you can control, and then get the maximum learning out of it. I think that's important. The earlier you can understand that, the more you can achieve.
Okay, and to finish, do you have a motto? So what is it?
Oh, I don't have one for my brand, so I can't say anything because I actually don't know what I want to say. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think what I want to say is I don't have. It doesn't sound great, but I think be honest to yourself is probably the best I can say in anything you do. You gotta do only what makes you happy and in life, because that's it.
Well, that's a great motto.
Good.
Very okay, good. Thank you very much.
Very okay. Cool.
We ask people to give some piece of advice or motivation quote to students, like, because yeah. Now we're beginning our finals period. And yeah, if you have things to say to young people or in general, what would you say?
It's so tricky. It's a bit the same as what I've been saying in this interview, but definitely, like, if you have a dream, then realize what you need to do to achieve it, and then get to work. Because so many people have dreams and wants to achieve something, but they are not aligned in the amount of work that they need to do. Because saying that you have a dream is not the same as believing in it and treating it as a work. And I think if you want something to happen, you gotta work for it. And you gotta really understand why you want it in the first place.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It was very enjoyable talking to you.
Have a nice evening, and all our wishes to succeed for the rest of your.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye. See you guys.
Yeah.